All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7 for the message this evening. Forgot my water. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 7. All right, I'll begin reading in verse 1, and you follow along as I read the text. It says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Now mark that note, mark that verse. That is a strange way of saying a great truth. Time lingered on, and they realized that they were away from the Lord, and they lamented that they were away from the Lord. All right, they didn't do anything about it right away. 20 years went by, but they realized that their blessings come from God, and so for 20 years they just sat around and did nothing spiritually, and everybody was lamenting after the Lord. You know, there's a lot of folks that don't know what they're looking for, and the Lord is what they're looking for. They it takes them a little while sometimes to realize that, but that's what that verse is saying. All right, verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you." The strange god was Baal, and Ashtaroth was the companion of Baal, the female god that went along with Baal. And so he says, if you do return to the Lord, if that's what you want to do, well, prove it by putting away your strange gods. And then he said, "And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam, and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. That's a drink offering. They were giving a drink offering to the Lord, and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered unto Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb, a newborn, a little lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord, and cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, the two towns, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So isn't that neat? They cried out for help after they got their hearts right with God. They cried out for the Lord to help them, and the Lord did help them. They did not have to lift a finger. They did not have to lift a finger. The Lord fought the battle for them. All right, I want to speak to you tonight from this passage, and I'm going to entitle my message tonight, Samuel's Revival. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you now for our time around your word, and I pray that you will bless it richly. Father, I pray that you'll help me as I speak. Then I pray that you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, just help us to get something this evening that will challenge our hearts and something that will lift us up and draw us closer to you. And just help us to hear what you have to say to our hearts tonight. And we'll give you the praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, let me give you just a little bit of background here before I actually get to what I want to say to you this evening so that you know the context in which this chapter happens. Once Joshua passed away, you remember the children of Israel entered into a period of time where there was no patriarch to lead the nation. Now, previously they had Abraham, and then they had Isaac, and then they had Jacob, and then they had Joseph, and then they had Moses, and then they had Joshua. Now, when Joshua passed away, that was it. There was no patriarch that stood as Israel's leader. They then entered into what is called the period or the times of the judges. And the judges were men and women who were singled out by God and called to deliver the people in their time of despair and trouble. When they got away from the Lord, it was the person that God raised up as the judge who would preach to them, who would lead them to get back to the Lord. And it was during this time that God raised up men like Gideon. We're all familiar with Gideon and his story. It was during this time where God raised up Jephthah, and then, of course, the most famous, I suppose, of all the judges was Samson. And God used these men and women. There was also a great woman judge that led the nation in war and back to God, and her name was Deborah. So God raised up these people during this specific period of time that is referred to as the period of the judges. Now, you will remember when you get toward the end of the book of Judges, these words are written several times. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So there was no king in the land. The patriarchs are gone. But then Moses was never called a king. Isaac was never called a king. Moses was never called a king. But there was no king in the land, and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And so, so it was during that time when folks did what they wanted to do. And when they judged equity by their own set of values, and what follows when you do something like that is just complete anarchy. And folks, that's where we are in our country today. All right, you've got men setting the bar as to what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And if you don't go along with those who put the bar in place, then you are considered in the minority, and you are considered a rebel or a racist or a bigot or whatever the case may be. But that's our society today. Now, some of the events that happened during the period of the judges, it's a pretty good indication of just how living in a world where there are no standards of what right and wrong, it's a pretty good indication that these people had no authority. In other words, they had no authority. And there were so many disgusting things and events that happened during the period of the judges. And many of the things that happened were just absolutely shameful, awful things. But that is what you get when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. If there is no declared law, if there are no declared rules, when there is no benchmark for truth, and people just do what they want to do, mark it down, chaos will ensue. That's just the way man is. So when you get through the period of the judges, then you have the book of Ruth, and then you have the book of 1 Samuel. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago that I feel that the book of Ruth is just an appendage to the book of Judges, all right? It's just, I think that the book of Ruth happened during the time of the judges, towards the probably the middle to the end, and it was just an addendum to the book of Judges. God was just telling us a little story within the story that is written for us in the book of Judges. So when you get through all that, we get over to the book of 1 Samuel. Now, Samuel was he was the last of the judges, but Samuel was also a prophet. He was God's man, and God used him in an amazing way to bring about David into the picture. David would end up being the king after God's own heart. And so it was through Samuel that we see David brought into the picture. And that was originally the purpose for these prophets. They were to direct the people to God, and they were to direct the people to their leader, whoever that leader may have been. All right, so when we get over now to this seventh chapter, we see the children of Israel had drifted away from God, and they were starting to worship the false idols and false gods of the Philistines. That was Baal and Baal's female goddess, Ashtaroth. So what did these people need in this chapter? What did they need? Well, they needed a revival. As we've been looking at revival for the last several Sunday nights. And here we see just a classic example of when folks need revival. And it has been God's pattern through history to bring about such a thing as revival whenever a man got so far away from him, and then God would stir up some souls, stir up some men, and God would then bring revival. It was sometimes in a region. It was sometimes in a whole area. It was sometimes in a whole nation. But God has, through the years, saw the need and then has stirred up hearts in order to get folks to get right with him. They needed a revival that was sent from God himself to give them the strength and the power to forsake Baal and come running back to worship God. If you look at verse 4, you'll see that Samuel told them that they needed to come back to the Lord to worship the Lord alone, getting those idols out of their lives. So God sent Samuel to preach to the whole nation of Israel, showing them that they needed to get their hearts right with God and forsake their idols. Now, today, there is no king in America, and every man seems to be doing that which is right in his own eyes. And folks, I submit to you that we need revival today in America more than we need anything else. Just as it took revival to stir the children of Israel back to God, we need a revival today. And I think that's the only thing that is going to stir our nation back to God. Revival sent from heaven. All right, now notice just a couple of things with me for the message. Number one, I want you to notice the proof of revival. Notice in that third verse, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods. Man, right there, that would bring revival right there. I mean, if America would just come back to God instead of playing football on Sunday, go to church on Sunday. You know, instead of sitting at the racetrack passing beer down the aisle, why don't we come to church, America? But no, people want to do what they want to do, and they don't care about what God wants. And Samuel is basically telling the people, look, I'm not going to take any insincerity from you. All right? I want you to return to the Lord with all your heart, and I want you to put away your strange gods. And if you look back at verse 2, you will notice that the people indicated that they wanted to return to the Lord. They wanted to come back. And we are told that they lamented for 20 years wanting to come back to the Lord. But as we all know, words are easily spoken. Words are easily spoken. And Samuel knew that. And that's why Samuel said to them, listen, if you guys want to return to the Lord, then you got to do it with all your heart. If you're going to return to the Lord, you've got to put away your idols. Put them up and serve the Lord only. And I don't know how many folks have said to me through the years, yes, Pastor, I know I need to come to church and I'm going to be there Sunday. But then neither hide nor hair shows up. You know, I don't know how many times I've been lied to. But the simple truth of the matter is I have heard that many, many times in the past. But you know, words are easily spoken, are they not? Someone said words are cheap. Well, they are. I mean, they just roll off the tongue. And Samuel wanted proof of their desire to once again have Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, as their God. And what was the proof he asked for? Well, he simply told them, put away your false gods. Samuel was in effect saying, hey, if you really want to return to the Lord, then prove it to me. Show it to me. Well, how do we do that? Well, you get rid of your idols. You see, folks, someone's actions can determine whether or not their words are sincere. Okay? Anybody can promise you anything. But if there is a change in a life, if there is a change to where somebody starts doing the right thing and starts living for the Lord and putting God first, well, then you can pretty well hang your hat that God has got a hold of that person's heart. My mother used to say all the time, actions speak louder than words. And there are certainly a lot of folks who talk a good faith. They talk a good faith, but they live a poor faith. And there are so many folks who talk a good game and they throw around the name of the Lord like they are like they're on the best of terms with the Lord, and then they bow down and worship Baal. And folks, we need to realize that a genuine heaven-sent revival is what is needed today, and we'll never see it as long as we are serving and worshiping Baal. We have to put away the strange gods before we ever hope to see a genuine revival. You see, they lamented about just how bad things had gotten during the last 20 years. You know, there's an awful lot of lamenting going on today, is there not? Yeah, yeah. I went to the store yesterday to get chicken tenders. You know, the kids think chickens are born without bones, you know? And so you have to get the chicken tenders. That's the only thing most of them will eat. But I went to get chicken tenders, and I bought a package about that big, looked like it had about 20 in it, and it was $19.98. Woo! For chicken. For chicken. We used to sit on the porch and shoot those things with a BB gun. Well, until my grandfather found out we were doing it. But we, for a chicken, $20 for a chicken. And so a lot of folks lamenting today. But folks, what we ought to be lamenting is the fact that we have allowed our nation to get so far away from God that our nation does not even recognize the God upon whose word our country was founded. Shameful. Shameful. So if God doesn't stir, then folks, we're going to have just more problems and difficulties in the future. So they lamented how bad things had gotten, and they longed to be back in fellowship with God once again. But Samuel brought home the stark reality that if you want God's blessings in your life, you must get rid of those disgusting false gods that you serve. Second thing I want you to notice is the persistency in revival. You will notice that Samuel tells the people that they need to prepare their hearts. Prepare their hearts. He said in verse 3, about halfway down, he said to put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Now, I did a little checking on that word, on that phrase, prepare the heart. And I found out what the what the commentators all said, and they all seemed to say it, so I don't know which one said it first, but they all seemed to say it. One of them copied it off of all the rest of them, but nonetheless, they all seemed to agree that this word prepare is a word that is literally packed with meaning. And the meaning of that word is this. The very foundation of the word is the principle of being constant. It is the principle of being constant. So to prepare in the Hebrew mindset means that a person is to be consistent in whatever he or she has gotten prepared for. Synonyms for prepare would be faithful, would be steadfast, would be the word fixed. So the idea would be that Samuel told them to prepare themselves, and that Samuel would have meant that they were to get prepared and then stay prepared. In other words, don't get on fire for God this week and then fall flat on your face next week. If you're going to have revival and get right with God, then stay right with God and keep short accounts with heaven. And, you know, it's just like the Lord said to the church at Laodicea, I would you were either hot or cold. And the Lord said that because you are lukewarm, I don't like that. I want to spew you out of my mouth. I want to vomit you. That's actually what the word says. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. So this little word prepare has the idea of consistency or of being fixed. You know, someone said that a stamp gets the job done because it sticks to the job. Amen, that's true. The point is, it is to be a permanent change to a new loyalty to God. Just a few weeks ago, I was speaking with an evangelist friend of mine, and it was not Hamlin, but I was speaking with an evangelist friend of mine, and he said to me, he said, preacher, these days I see way too many folks who have revival in their head, but not in their heart. I thought, wow, man, that was an awesome statement. I said, hold on a minute. You don't say very much that I think's awesome. So hang on just a minute. I want to write that down. And I did. I wrote it down. And so it's only been about 3 weeks, and I've already thrown it into a sermon. He said, I see way too many folks who have revival in their head, but not in their heart. That's a classic statement. A revival in the head is certainly not going to last very long, is it? It's not going to last very long. But if we have a revival in our hearts, that is should be and will be a persistent matter. I want to see a real, genuine, sent from heaven, poured out by God Almighty through the power of the Holy Spirit revival. That's what I want to see. I want to see one that literally turns us upside down and turns us away from our false gods and unto the Lord Himself. I'm talking about a revival that stirs us up to serve God, and a revival that never stops stirring us for God. A persistent and powerful moving of the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to us consistently and moves us to live consistently for the Lord. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the prospects from revival. I want you to see what Samuel said. Look at it. Samuel said in the last part of verse 3, he said, and the Lord, he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Man, that's great, isn't it? You get God's promise that He's going to be there to help you. And you know that's exactly what God did. That's why I read it for you. I wanted you to see that God followed through on His word. And folks, God will follow through on His word of promise to each of us. The Philistines were a Canaanite tribe of people, and they were brutal. They were forceful people. They were in the land when Joshua and the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and came into the place, to the land that God had promised them. And you go back and read it all through the book of Judges. The Philistines were a problem to the people of God. It was the Philistines who tormented Samson and who eventually tricked him into having his hair cut off, which caused Israel a great deal of suffering. And even here in this chapter, it was the Philistines in this chapter who were terrorizing Israel, who were sneaking upon them so that they could attack them and kill as many innocent folks as they possibly could. And God promises, if the people come back to me, if the people will just come back, I will protect them. Oh, we all want deliverance, don't we? But do we want to obey God and follow Him so He will deliver us? And once the conditions were met, then the Lord powerfully upheld His end of the bargain. He said, "You come back and I will bless." And they came back, and sure enough, God did bless. He did exactly what they needed Him to do. Now look at verse 9 and verse 10. If you look at these verses, the people got right with God. And then Samuel offered a lamb for a sacrifice for them. And while they humbled themselves and were broken and trusting in the Lord, the Philistines were gathering for an assault upon them. But the Lord thundered. Man, I love that verse. The Lord thundered among the Philistines. And it was the Lord who came and the Lord who fought for them. They did not have to lift a finger, folks. That's the kind of fighting that you'd like to be in, you know, where God protects you and where God fights the battle for you. And that's what happened on that day. The Lord thundered among the Philistines. They did not have to do anything. God did it all. And folks, I'm telling you that the only hope for our nation is for God Almighty to send revival and then watch as the Lord defeats His enemies around us, which are ruining and destroying our nation from the inside out. I'm telling you, I would not send my child into a government classroom. I just would not do it. I would not do it. They're going to learn how to be social agitators. That's what they're going to learn. They're going to learn how to spot racism, and if they can't spot it, they'll make it up. All right? That's just the world we live in, folks. And if they don't start brainwashing children when they're in kindergarten, then it's going to be a hard sell, and they know it. And so that's why it's happening. And now what do you see? Now you see the Attorney General threatening the FBI on anyone who will go to a local school board meeting and complain about the textbooks and the garbage that's in them, or complain about what's being taught in the classroom to their children. I'm telling you, folks, we're in trouble. And we cannot do it in our own strength. You cannot do it in yours, and I cannot do it in mine. But with a church broken and humbled before God, God Almighty can do what you and I can't do. And what we can't do, God will do and give the victory over these modern day Philistines that we are up against now. Folks, we got to realize, we've got to realize that God is the one that sends the revival. And that's our only hope, is revival. Either that or for the Lord to return. And I don't think we ought to live our lives hiding under a rock just waiting on the Lord Jesus to come back. I think we need to be busy. And, you know, we talk about get out to vote, and we talk, and I'm all for that. Think you ought to vote. We talk about get out to vote. We talk about this. We talk about that, supporting the right candidates, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm all for that. Please don't get me wrong. But where are the churches on their faces asking the God of heaven for his blessing? You see, that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. And until we see that, then we're in trouble in America. God help us. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you now for your word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts tonight and help us to realize the importance of having that heaven-sent revival. We are not in our own strength able to stand against the Philistines of this world today. We have got to have your help. Just like the children of Israel, they weren't warriors. They weren't an army. They were shepherds. They were farmers. And yet you defeated their enemy. And you did it by yourself, all alone. You did it. And Father, we rejoice in your blessing and just thank you for all that you've done. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to each individual heart. Help us to realize that the revival that we have been preaching about must begin with the individual. So Father, speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. Do what only you can do, and we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.